on the wrong end of the highway. When the long night has no end, when there's no one there beside me, till I hold you once again. Thank God for the radio when I'm on the road, when I'm far from home, feeling blue. Thank God for the radio playing all night long, playing long.
Okay, boys and girls, join us at the campfire. It's story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story time is the history and adventures of outdoor radio. So traveling all across this country, I've been on radio shows from California to New York to Florida, every type of format, from rock to country to talk to sports. I've been on just about every kind of radio station you can imagine. Fortunate enough, in the business that I do with the seminars and the outdoor media, you're always being interviewed. I love radio, and I especially love live radio. And I finally had my opportunity at KFNS 590 The Fan in 1999. Mike Ferris was doing a lot of work with Epic Video, and he was talking to my friend, the guy I was working with, Dale Kuhn, about making some changes at KFNS 590 and moving their outdoor programming to Saturday morning. ESPN Radio had done extensive research and compiled several years of information. Absolute best time for outdoor radio is on a Saturday morning. The highest rated outdoor shows on Saturday morning. They got to understand, with outdoor radio, those shows are always on push to a Thursday night or a Sunday night away from primetime. You don't know of any outdoor radio shows on drive time weekdays. But Mike Ferris was talking to Dale Kuhn about doing a Saturday morning show, and Dale said, "I've got the guy for you." And he introduced me to Mike Ferris, and Mike asked if I'd be willing to come over and do a half-hour segment as a test run, and they would promote it that week and then do a show for a couple weeks and see what kind of response we got. So he set it up for a Saturday morning to me coming to the studio. You got to know, at that time, we didn't have cell phones. And I came into this radio station. It was all locked up, and it was dark, and it was 10 minutes until the time I was supposed to go on the air. So I went to the payphone, and I called Mike Ferris. I said, "I'm at this radio station, and there's nobody here." He goes, "Oh, no." He goes, "Look outside. Is there a car with the door open?" And I go, "Yeah." "He's in there sleeping. Get him up." So I go out, and this guy named John is in there. I said, "Hey, I'm supposed to go on the air here in about 5 minutes." He jumped up, ran into the station, opened the door, runs me into the studio, and sets me down. And I said, "Look, Mike Ferris is supposed to have some information for me to do this fishing report." He goes, "Oh, I'll look for it." So he takes off running out of the door, and he's running around. About that time, he comes back, kicks the door open, runs in, points to me, and then points to the on-air sign. I was hot, baby. Had no idea. And then the radio station at KFNS 590 The Fan, after several weeks, asked if I'd be interested in doing it full-time there at the station on Saturday morning. Went on the air at 6, so it was an early morning. Leave home at 3:30 in the morning and get to the show around 5. Of course, that's when you see so many things in that early morning time. One of the most famous things that I witnessed was this gas station I used to stop. One morning I was going there to get coffee and gasoline and head on up to the station. This guy come in wearing goggles. And he takes the goggles off and he's wiping bugs off of them. And I said, "What's up with the goggles? I didn't hear a motorcycle." He goes, "Oh, I don't have any windshield in my truck." So I said, "Really? Here, let me buy you a coffee." So I buy him a coffee. And the lady working the store, she listens to our show. And her and her husband are hunters. And we talked a minute and stepped back outside of the gas station door there. And there's the truck. It was a little S10 pickup with no windshield. I said, "Yep, sure enough, you don't have any windshield." He's putting on his goggles. And I just ask him, "What happened? How long you been without a windshield?" He goes, "Oh, about 3 years." A quick trip one morning, these guys came in dressed as from the movie The 300. They had the swords, the helmets, the whole nine yards, and they were beating their chest and yelling, "We are the 300. And when I finally got my coffee up to the counter to pay for it, this guy looked at the guy and I said, "I can't believe this." He goes, "Oh, this is nothing. You should have been in here earlier." Another time at Quick Trip, there was two girls that came in from East St. Louis. Well, let's say adult entertainment nightclubs, pole dancers. Still had the sparkle on them, dressed very, well, barely dressed. And they were very much under the influence and was staggering around the store. One of them was carrying one of her shoes. They got in line and they decided they wanted to kiss everybody, so they started kissing the guys in line, and a bunch of old guys in there getting coffee was running up and getting in line so they could get kissed. And it was always amazing that early morning time, the things you would witness. Going up the highway at 4 o'clock in the morning, there was a guy naked in the middle of the highway running toward my headlights. I had to take the shoulder, keep him running over him, and I saw him running into other headlight toward other vehicles that took the median, called 911. They said they had officers on the way. many times going out that road, I saw people with no shirts on or in their underwear walking up the road. One morning going in, as I started across the bridge, go up the hill, I could see something in the road, and I slowed down, hit my bright lights. There was a car parked with no lights on in the lane, on the highway, in the northbound lane, not off the road, turned off, and guys were sitting on the trunk drinking beer. Another time on that road, there's a sharp curve that goes hard to the left. And as I was doing about 40 miles an hour, a truck come around me flying. Went around that curve, passed me on a blind curve in the wrong lane, ran a car off in the ditch. Lucky there wasn't a head-on. I went around a turn. He drove down across the highway. I was going to stop down and get coffee. He went into the gas station and got a pack of cigarettes. And one can never forget the early morning getting food for the guys at the station, stopping at some of these fast food places to get a breakfast sandwich or to try to get donuts. Too many stories to tell. One, at a Steak and Shake, I pulled up to the drive-thru, and they started cursing me and told me to pull around to the window. And I said, what's going on? And this girl, she was inside trying to work, pushing a guy away from the microphone. He kept yelling profanity. She says, I'm so sorry. I said, where's everybody at? She says, they're out by the dumpster. And I turned and looked, and I could see a bunch of them drinking beer over there. I said, you probably shouldn't talk to people like that. And he yelled at me again. So I said, that's okay, I'll go someplace else. I called and sent a report and told him I was with a radio station, took care of that situation. I've had guys say, you want a breakfast sandwich? I'll make you a breakfast sandwich. They start slamming stuff together, and here, it's on me, and throw it out the window at me. So one time, 4:15 a.m. Quick Trip stop. There was a police officer that walked by my Suburban. It's been years ago. And he stopped. He looked at me, walked over as I was getting out of the truck. He said, are you that radio guy? I go, yeah. He goes, you got any fishing stuff? I don't hunt, but I got fishing. I like to fish. I said, you know what? You're in luck. Bob White hit it, Outdoor Guide Magazine. He just gave me a bunch of fishing lures and caps and things like that. We had some giveaways on the air, and I said, sure. So I grabbed him a cap and some fishing lures and gave him some stuff. He said, thanks. I said, you want any hunting stuff? He said, no, I don't hunt. He went on in the store. We got coffee and visited a little bit, and I headed for the station. Not to get anybody in trouble. Not to tell on anyone, but as I was changing highways to head up toward the Webster Studios, as I made the turn onto the highway, lights came on behind me, and lights passed me, pulled in front of me, and spotlight was on me, and two police cars stopped me, one behind me, one in front of me, and two officers walked up to the window, knocked on the window. I rolled the window down with my driver's license, and they looked in the truck and go, hey, where's our stuff? Of course, they didn't use that exact word. How could one ever forget the Krispy Kreme fiasco? I got a bunch of guests coming to the studio, pulling to the Krispy Kreme at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I want to order some donuts. And he goes, I don't have any donuts. But he used a little profanity laced. He says, come up to the window. So I drive up to the window. And this is not the first time this kind of thing has happened. I drive up to the window, and I says, I need a dozen glazed. He goes, I didn't make any donuts. This is my last day. I'm the only one here. I'm not doing, well, you know, you get the message. He says, I got some cake donuts. You want them? I go, yeah, sure. So he brings me a dozen cake donuts. And here, they're on me. As soon as somebody gets here, I'm out of here. And, of course, this was laced with lots of very colorful language. So we go to the station, and I've got some day-old Krispy Kreme cake donuts for everybody. And we're talking on the air with our great friend and Radio Fishing Report guy for years, Fat Boy. I'm telling the story on the air, what happened to me that morning. And Fat Boy says, hey, now wait a minute. Don't you be making fun of Krispy Kreme. Oh, Krispy Kreme and gravies. I love Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme went on, and I leaned into the microphone. I said, obviously, you haven't been by Krispy Kreme at 4:30 in the morning and see how a disgruntled employees really make those holes in those donuts. How about on the New Year's weekend when I came into the station at 4:45 and walked into the studio, and there sat Vogelbogger in a diaper with a ribbon around him saying that the date of the year, went back into the truck until he put his clothes on. A lot of history with that Vogelbogger. One time he passed out on the air, and we had a guest, and he wanted to know if he was dead. I said, no, he's all right. He passed a kidney stone live on the air. We used to always do the sports shows and hunting shows. We had Michael Waddell in. We've had the Drury Boys in, fishing guys and show promoters. We've had just about everybody in the show. And one Saturday in February, we're having fishing gals into the station that was doing seminars down at the St. Louis Boat and Sports Show. I had come in from out of town late and then worked the sports show late. Came in tired early. And so I always used the girls' bathroom because it was clean on Saturday morning early because the men's bathroom was destroyed. And I didn't even think about it. I came in, set my stuff down, and ran in and went into the stall when the door opened and I heard women's voices. So I just lifted my feet up, and these gals came into the restroom. One of them actually pulled on the door, rattled the door, was trying to get in the stall. And they used the other stall and then was standing up at the mirror talking about their evening in quite detail. And the fishing guy that, well, let's say, I think the two were in love, at least for that night. Then I had to go into the studio, sit down across from these gals, and do a radio show. We used to do a barbecue cook-off. We had Fat Boy come in, and Big John, our two Fishing Report guys, and they have a cook-off. We'd invite our listeners, and the Turkey Federation boys would come over. In the old days, at the old 590 in Webster, this place, parking lot was full. We had hunters from everywhere, all over the parking lot. And when Jay Randolph Jr. did his golf show right after our show, he announced on the air, he said, well, there's no hunters anywhere in the woods in this morning in Missouri or the Midwest because they're all here at the radio station. The stories of the adventures of early morning, going to Walmart stores, going to restaurants, the things you'd see was unbelievable. This early morning hour is really unique when it comes to outdoor radio. So here we are, KFNS 590 The Fan. This spring we'll be going into our 18th year on the air with outdoor radio. It's been a great ride and a lot of fun. I absolutely love outdoor radio. To me, it's the best. It's the most entertaining and the most fun to do. Those early mornings in the station and the people, the guests we've had through the years, and being in the outdoor industry really helped for me to be able to get guests for this show. Doing the remotes from the Turkey Federation National Convention, from duck blinds, from deer stands. And the people now today with this electronic messaging we get during the show is amazing. Our friend Manuel down in Old Mexico in a goose pit telling us he's listening to the show. People from all over the country and all over the world will send us a message. Messages from Iraq and Afghanistan of soldiers. This is amazing. It's been an amazing run. Been so much fun. And without all of you, our listeners, it would have never happened. I would have never been on the air 17 years without all of you. So we thank you for that. Keep that input coming. Appreciate it, each and every one of you. I love you to death. And that's story time this week with your Uncle Red.
590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Thanks for joining us, and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
Defend her still today, but there ain't no doubt.